Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning, 40,500 jobs over the next 5 years. That's the headline ambition of Enterprise Ireland's latest plan to develop the Irish economy. It launches this morning, and the Minister for Enterprise, Tourism and Employment, Peter Burke, joins me on the line. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
You're very welcome to the programme. Now, this five-year strategy, I don't know how you're managing to do this when one of your biggest trading partners can impose tariffs, as we know now, this week, at just 5 minutes' notice.
Well, it's very important that we set out a very ambitious strategy on behalf of our Indigenous sector and increase our exports. If you look at the growth that we have contained in the sector, many of the targets are just aimed at growing beyond 6%. So I think that's very reasonable, considering what we have to focus as a country on holding what we have, but also on the growth. And if we can put an additional 8,000 jobs per annum onto our Indigenous sector, grow our exporters to have 150 very significant additional exporters into our economy, increase our research and development spend by 6%, bring it up to €2.2 billion. I think those are very achievable targets because we have so many high-value jobs in our economy. And one thing we're trying to do as a government now is really control the problems under our jurisdiction, like our competitiveness. And that's what I really want to bring a competitive plan to government before the next budget. I think that would be a very important priority.
Okay, but you have to acknowledge the context of this as well. And we know that this day next week, Micheál Martin will be in the White House, and that will be just as the US tariffs on steel and aluminium from every country in the world kick in. I mean, we don't stand to be massively impacted by that in particular. But let's say Donald Trump mentions the word pharmaceuticals during that meeting. Do we have a plan for that?
Absolutely. Well, in the first instance, we note that the new Trump administration has appointed a new ambassador to the World Trade Organization. And obviously, tariffs are zero for zero on pharma products, very much contained in a bilateral or multilateral agreement that was established and dates back a long number of years. And that has always been the case to protect innovation in that sector. So I think it's very important that that will be protected. And also, it's worth noting that, you know, some of the major companies that are involved in pharma in our country are here from 50, 60, 70 years. And when you consider in terms of that portfolio, about 67% of all their exports go to the EU and the rest of the world as opposed to the US. So we are pretty diverse in terms of the portfolio that we have. Notwithstanding that, I think we as a country always, you know, fight protectionism at every hand's turn. And as an open economy, we know the challenge that tariffs do present. And we've been here before back in 2018 when 25% it was put on steel, 10% on aluminium. And obviously, we brought in a suite of measures in the context of the EU response. And they have been put on hold now until the 1st of April this year. So we're working very closely. And Tánaiste Simon Harris is as well with Mauro Šefčovič, the trade commissioner, in that regard.
How worried are you, Minister, that Donald Trump is just going to go for us?
You're always concerned about the discourse that you hear, Claire, but I do think we are very diverse as an economy, and I think we should really focus on that diversity and really talk up the strengths of the Irish economy and work hard to protect the problems, as I said, that we can control. You know, we see at the moment, if you see what's after happening overnight, you saw those tariffs brought into Canada. And now you see Canada coming back, putting 25% tariffs on €155 billion of American products. That's going to hit the American economy because we know from the history of tariffs, in the first instance, what to do is to constrain supply. You see inflation go up, and you see in the US now inflation creeping beyond 3%. That's going to accelerate. So it's very difficult to see how someone can, you know, turn around an economic model based on tariffs alone. You know, we saw right through the history of the globe how much and how short tariff wars have been because ultimately they're not successful. The successful way is open trade and rules-based trade. And the critical thing is that we need strong trading relationships with the US to achieve that.
If tariffs are coming for the EU, though, from the United States, do you support the EU plan, as we know so far, to respond in a likewise fashion with reciprocal tariffs?
What I would really seek, and I think we have about 90 days from once the president will announce his plan potentially in early April. But what we can see in relation to that is that we need to negotiate. And that's what you see. You know, when you heard Howard Lutnick last night speak when being interviewed by the American news channel CNN, he really was responding back saying, oh, President Trump may change tack here. He may reduce these tariffs. He wants to negotiate. So I think what we have to do is particularly we have the established mechanism through the Trade and Technology Council on an EU context, we need to work to point out what Ireland is doing and the EU is doing in the American economy. So when we go on our trade mission next week, we'll be key and focusing on the, you know, there's 10 top companies in Ireland that employ over 100,000 people in every state right across the US, all 50 states, some very regional locations, from CRH to Kingspan to Currie Group, Ryanair, you know, huge amount of employment and investment going into the heart of the US.
And I know the Taoiseach will be making that point, but just, I mean, we saw what Canada did last night and China. They said, right, we're going to do exactly the same to you as you have done to us. Are you saying the EU shouldn't do that if tariffs are introduced, that they should hold back and try to negotiate?
Well, one thing I want to do is really avoid a trade war, a tit for tat. What we have, if we focus on, first of all, is that, you know, we have currently tariffs that have been suspended to the 1st of April. And if we look at those are on motorbikes, bourbon, Levi jeans, particular types of clothes, orange juice, and they're targeted in areas like Florida, Wisconsin, North Carolina, particularly states that the EU has taken a firm view that those are the areas that need to penetrate. So the critical decision point, firstly, would be, should those be reintroduced on the 1st of April? That's the first decision point. But secondly, and I think this is more important, is that the EU as a whole, as that very strong, the most integrated bilateral global trading relationship in the world, has to really talk up its position. And the point I always make is that, and it gets lost in debate, is that, you know, we always focus on goods, but trade involves services as well. And when you look at the accumulated effect between trade and services in an Irish context, obviously, we're in a significant deficit with the US, almost 100 billion euro. But in an EU context, it's less than 5% of trade flows every single day. And to harm that and to try and, you know, get to a very, you know, significant race to the bottom almost on trade would damage everyone, I think.
But
that's
look,
the problem, Claire.
Canada is the second biggest investor in the United States, and that hasn't stopped Donald Trump imposing 25% tariffs on their goods.
And that's interesting when that happened back in 2018, because obviously Justin Trudeau was prime minister at that point in time in Canada, and they responded with tariffs. And what happened was you saw a de-escalation in tensions. What I'm saying is the first decision point is going to be in relation to the 1st of April. But I would, you know, much prefer to, you know, enter that period of negotiation through Maroš Šefčovič and Howard Lutnick and the key actors in the US and try and say, look, we have such a strong relationship here.
But how far, are you going to get with that argument with the EU? Because we heard very early days when Trump first mentioned tariffs, we heard from the EU, well, we have the big bazooka ready. You know what I mean? They're ready to go.
I think we can make significant headway, because, you know, so many US businesses, I was in the West Coast of America last week in San Francisco, in the heart of Silicon Valley, in San Diego. When you're talking to so many significant companies there, a lot of them do not realize the significance of Irish investment in the US and that we're employing so many people for a country.
But it doesn't matter to them. Because I've just said to you,
Donald Trump is a businessman.
I know that,
acumen is at its core.
But Peter, we're making the point to him that we're the sixth largest investor into the United States. What I'm saying to you is Canada is the second biggest investor in the United States, and they have 25% tariffs to deal with today.
Absolutely. And that is going to create a very difficult situation from the US. As I referenced earlier on in the interview, we've seen inflation now creep up beyond 3% in the US. You're going to see prices come under significant pressure. Supply is going to come under pressure.
But you see my point. It doesn't matter how much you're putting into the United States.
Absolutely. The point I'm making, Claire, is what's the first thing that happened last night? Howard Lutnick was on CNN saying that, oh, the president will now negotiate with Canada, because essentially they are getting worried that, you know, their grid in some of the northern states is coming under pressure, because Canada is saying that, you know, they have control and the raw materials on that as well. So this penetrates very deep. And I have no doubt that, you know, Donald Trump, the president, wants to bring people to the table to negotiate. I'd much prefer, in the first instance, we have a gateway or a decision point in relation to the 1st of April. But secondly, beyond that, we have to really work to get those key messages penetrated deep down, because every time I hear in media mentioned, oh, Ireland has a huge deficit with the United States, a huge surplus with the United States. That's not correct, because we're not looking at the full and total
the trading relationship. On top of that.
Exactly. And that's that we are paying so much for US innovation right into the heart of the US economy in terms of royalties for that innovation. And that's a very significant asset to the US economy. But that message needs to be driven home right into the heart of the US administration.
Okay, but what reassurance can you offer Irish exporters? Because their association, Simon McKeever, has said we really need to take this seriously now. And he believes that Donald Trump will go ahead with tariffs, and he wants people to look at their supply chains to see where they're exposed. So what is the state's plan, the government's plan, to support those businesses which, as Simon McKeever believes, will be impacted by tariffs?
So we are working very seriously with all our exporters through a whole of government approach. So firstly, obviously, we're working through the EU. The EU has the competency for trade, and we're very closely aligned with and have a great relationship with Mauro Šefčovič. That's the first response to protect European interests. Secondly, from a national perspective, we are diversifying our portfolio. And as I mentioned at the very outset, you can see how much exports have diversified, that we are in Ireland such a significant gateway, a hub for so many US-based companies who are exporting to Europe and the rest of the globe. That's important to point that out. And those, you know, very significant companies require parts, and particularly for pharma ingredients, that come from all over the globe. So I think when you talk about tariffs, you know, the president and administration will see, you know, the significant risk attached to them when they start to look at them. I think secondly, as I mentioned before, in terms of our competitive piece, we have to really drive that home. And obviously the critical thing is, you know, preparing our economy for shocks. How do we do that? It's key investing in our two sovereign wealth funds. We'll have about $16 billion injected in this year. We are running a budget surplus at this point in time. That's also very important. We have 2.8 million people with a job in this country, very high-value jobs, which are very important. And we need to continue our economic growth. And quite critically, which is so important, is holding what we have. And that's why the strategy we have for Enterprise Ireland for an Indigenous sector is very important. And we launched a couple of weeks ago our IDA one as well.
Listen, just on your strategy, and you mentioned the number of people working in Ireland, like we're at or very near full employment at the moment. But this strategy says that you're going to boost the numbers employed by over 40,000 by 2029. Now, where are we going to find those workers? Where are we going to house them?
First of all, we have the youngest population in Europe. We have, at this point in time, 8% of our graduates are coming from the ICT sector. That's double the EU average. When you look at our life science sector, where we have about 90 billion euro exports, nearly 100,000 employees, we have the highest per capita of graduates coming from our STEM categories. We are at this point issuing about 40,000 employee permits coming into our country every single year. We have the most diverse economic portfolio of employees. And when I travel around, Clare, one of the critical things I point out that is received so well is that our people are our most prized resource. We have such a diverse portfolio of talent in our country now that we have to cherish. And that's why you'll see in Enterprise Ireland strategy and also in the IDA one, skills is so much to the forefront of investing with our research partners from, you know, so many exciting opportunities from Nibert and Tyndall and Cedar. You have so many, you know, third level tertiary partnerships, which is so critical. And in housing, we have a very significant capital plan, which we are delivering. We have a new planning act, which has been commenced over the next number of weeks. That will pave the gateway for so much infrastructural development, because we have about 165 billion euro of a capital plan over the next decade that I believe has the capacity to transform our communities and keep our economy competitive. Because at the moment, we are number one in the Eurozone, despite some of the discourse you might hear in terms of the independent yearbook, and that's the independent measure. We're fourth out of the 67 economies measured, but we need to protect that and keep it.
All right, listen, let's move on to another issue which is dominating the agenda on the EU stage, certainly, and on the international stage, defence. I mean, Ursula von der Leyen saying yesterday that this is an era of rearmament. If the triple lock goes, do you envisage Ireland committing peacekeeping troops to Ukraine?
Well, first of all, the triple lock is just a mechanism whereby a UN resolution is required to deploy troops. And it's the most, deceptive argument that I've heard that it, you know, impinges on Ireland's neutrality. It absolutely does not. It's about a sovereign country controlling its own actions. We're very firm in our neutrality. We join Malta and Austria in an EU context. And I know how much that means to Irish people, but your ability to partake in EU missions and missions that are in the very interest of our country from 1958. We have unbroken service, which is unique right around the globe in peacekeeping missions. We want to protect
that. But to the question, Minister,
we don't want to be relying on Russia and other actors trying to decide where and when we can deploy.
To the question, do you think that this means Ireland will be committing peacekeeping troops to Ukraine?
Well, we haven't come to that point yet. So at the moment, I don't see a circumstance, and I said that before on radio shows that we would at this point in time. Obviously, I can't predict the future and what way things will evolve. It depends on if a peace deal was agreed, obviously, and what the content of it was. But we're very key in terms of working with the UN, which is very important. Just the Security Council just can't have a veto because it is not functioning as prescribed at the moment. And that's the key stumbling block here. We want to control our sovereignty, ensure that we have the agility to partake in missions and also to rescue people that, unfortunately, we live in such a very uncertain geopolitical landscape where you have, you know, events that happen and citizens get stranded. We need the ability to send people out to rescue them and not be requiring on approvals from Russia and China and other actors.
I mean, modern warfare is very reliant now on technology and things like drones, communications, intelligence, satellites. Should we be incentivizing arms manufacturers to set up here?
And narcotics and other areas. And that's, first of all, it's so key why the triple lock is outdated. We saw narcotics where we were precluded from going on missions which are critical to the security of our state.
And this is more down to your own. This is more in your own brief now, enterprise. I mean, do you see this as an area potentially that Ireland could exploit?
No, I don't at this point in time. So critically, we are as a country very strong in terms of our innovation. We have so many areas that, you know, we are world leaders on. We're world leaders on fintech. We're world leaders in the space of life sciences, and you can see the wider technology space. We have the best companies on the globe situated here in Ireland. So I see huge opportunities in the future in those areas. And when you look at, I brought the Cabinet yesterday, the progression of the AI Act, where we're working off a 36-month horizon, designating competent authorities and really hiving out the massive opportunity that's going to be there. And that's when you see with general purpose technology that's going to transcend all areas of our economy, and this, we can focus on those areas.
But in this new era of increased spending on defence, do you see an opportunity in incentivising arms manufacturers to set up here?
I don't at this point in time, Claire. Where I think we need to work harder is defending our own interests, trying to get to a level of ambition too, which is very much set out in the programme for government to get to 1.5 billion by 2028. We have so much subsea infrastructure. We're going to be investing significantly in our offshore wind. We're in a pathway to get to about 20 gigawatts by 2040. That's a huge pipeline, and there's going to be significant infrastructure. Now we need to prepare to protect that, and that's why we need significant expenditure in those areas.
Right.
But I do know
your cabinet colleague, sorry to interrupt you, but your cabinet colleague, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, believes that defence spending should be doubled. Do you agree with her?
That will require a cabinet decision, but absolutely, I do think we need more expenditure on defence. I'd be totally in agreement with Jennifer on that, because we have so much infrastructure, and you know, we need basic protection, be it radar, sonar, you know, off our seas. There's so much going on there that we need a better handle on and better intelligence on. So absolutely, we need, you know, significant more investment in the defence portfolio. But that does not mean we're compromising our neutrality in any shape or form. And that's what's key for the Irish people. Even before the last election, we were very clear as a government that the triple lock was outdated. It wasn't functioning. But unfortunately, that message is being used by other people to try and muddy the waters. And the key thing is we're a neutral country. Our intention is to continue that way. But when you talk about defence, one of the key things in a European context is where my concern as a minister is that we need to, you know, focus on the Draghi report where competitiveness was to the forefront. But people in Ireland have to realise too, when you have people in Nordic countries and Baltic countries who are in fear of Russia every single day and see the advances they're making in Ukraine, you know, we as a government too want to keep a focus as well on competitiveness and growing our indigenous economy. That's so important as well.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us. That's Minister Peter Burke. Coming up a little bit later, Professor Luke O'Neill explains why dementia might be linked to an ageing immune system. That's on the way right now. We'll take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.